Jimmy Muyaha is leading the conversation all across South Africa right now. Stay tuned to SAFM.
Thank you very much to Greg for that news update. There'll be more news with Greg in 54 minutes. Right now, we kick off the show, as we always do these days, with the strange or weird laws that we find from around the world. In Germany, it is illegal to run out of petrol on the Autobahn. For those who don't know what the Autobahn is, it is a high-speed motorway equivalent to the freeway that we would have in South Africa that has no speed limits. And this law was particularly put in place to prevent accidents on the high-speed motorway. So those out there that say they know their car and know when to fill up their car, don't take your car to the Autobahn, otherwise you'll create problems for the world. That's in Germany, and that's a weird law. But you're tuning into the SFM Market Update with MoneyWeb. I'm your host, Jimmy Muyaha, and on the show today, we take a look at the 4.5 billion rand in unpaid dividends that the JSE is encouraging all citizens to come forward and see if a chunk of that or a small percentage of that might be something you're entitled to. We're going to be speaking to the JSE around that, trying to get a sense of how you can find out more about this 4.5 billion rand and the process behind all of that. Then we've got a conversation with the managing director at Inverosh. They've just signed a very interesting deal with Pernod Ricard for the acquisition of Inverosh and thus the expansion of the South African gin brand into the global markets. We're going to get a sense of what all of that means and where it now repositions that brand. We're also going to chat to Standard Bank around romance scams. With Valentine's Day being tomorrow, we thought we'd take a look at why or how to protect yourself and how to make sure that love doesn't cost you a fortune at the end of the day. We're also going to take a look at some very interesting reflections from a American political commentator and journalist around the current South African United States tensions and what's happening there and the recent actions by President Trump and what we should be making of that as South Africans. And then we're going to wrap up the show as we do every Thursday with an SME. We're going to be speaking to the founder of Biomedical Emporium, Dr. Judy Pretorius. She joins me in studio to tell us what her product is about and where we can get hold of it.
You are listening to Jimmy Muyaha on SAFM.
First things first, let's take a look at the market movements throughout the day. I'm joined on the line by senior analyst at Xnest, Terence Hove, to do this. Good evening, Terence. Lovely to catch up with you. As always, markets having a soft day from a local perspective, unless you're looking at resource counters. They kind of benefited from a resurgence in commodities prices. What did you make of today's movements?
Yeah, good evening, Jimmy. Good to be back on the show. I think our markets are doing fairly well on the back of all the global tension that is currently there around trade policy and trade war with the new Trump administration. So if we look at where the rand is, on the back of all those, very significant moves that the White House is taking with regards to trade policies, amongst other announcements that they've made, I would say that I think the South African market is faring very well, and I think it's also showing that traders are really looking at the actual fundamentals of economic drivers or market performance, other than just the sentiment around announcements being made, because I think that's really what got the jitters going. You mentioned, resources. We're seeing gold trading at an all-time high. It got close to 3,000, earlier in the week. It's trading lower at about 2,919. So I think the risk is really much there in the market and as an emerging market to see where we are with the rand, trading, ranging between 1840, 1850. I think we're faring very well.
Terence, with the Rand at 1850, I mean, you said we're doing quite well there. Are you optimistic that that'll strengthen throughout the rest of the year? I mean, obviously, there's a lot of tensions that continue to unfold around the world, and some of those tensions are affecting in South Africa or spilling over into South Africa. But we've also got some of our own challenges. Are you optimistic that we would get stronger from here from a Rand perspective?
Yeah, I think, you know, what caution is generally in the market, including the US Fed, if we've listened to their comments, is to really see and evaluate the impact of the Trump policies. I mean, there's the initial knee-jack reaction, to an announcement or to a headline. But to say, would the Rand do very well for the rest of the year? I mean, there's just so many moving parts to it. When we look at it globally, locally, it's a bit shaky, primarily because of energy, because that's a big factor. If rates keep coming lower, as they are, that's good for business, that's good for consumers. But if we are not able to produce, or producers are not able to produce, manufacture because of energy challenges, then that will probably be a challenge for good Rand performance for the rest of the year. So I think the eye now is on the trade policy and those energy concerns that were sort of a bit of market shockers in the past weeks. So those are the things that I think would ultimately, amongst others, determine where the Rand ends off. But for now, it's faring well.
Terence, when we look at some of the other movements in terms of the commodities, they also seemingly doing well at the moment. The oil price is getting a bit softer there as well. We're seeing a lot more interest coming through in terms of the commodity space. Is that still to do with what's happening around the world around the tariff tensions and all of that, or something else now spurring the commodity markets on?
Yeah, so certainly, I mean, the biggest thing that's spurring the commodity market on is the conversation that U.S. President Donald Trump had with Russian President Vladimir Putin, and talks around peace talks. Germany has come out and said, how could Trump go out and offer, certain things without beginning the talks. But obviously, as President Donald Trump said, he's putting America first. So he's really not going to band with anyone else to say, let's go and get this done. And I think we're starting to see that relief in terms of energy, coming lower. And that's a big trigger. If things settle in Eastern Europe, that's definitely a big trigger towards softer energy prices, and also in the Middle East as well. Right now, we've just had President Donald Trump's conversation with President Vladimir Putin. But again, with the Middle East, it's ongoing. So there's more development that will come out there. And these have been primarily the high risk factors. If we look at 2020, for the past 2 years, really, two or so years. So I think with these big risk factors coming out of the market or starting to cool down, and as they cool down even more significantly, we are likely to see softer prices, I think, reflecting, that risk premium coming out of the market.
We could be in for softer prices, but at the same time, markets are doing well. They're doing better than they have been. We'll leave the conversation there. Thanks so much for those insights, Terence. Terence Hove, Senior Market Analyst at Exness, joining us to take a look at the market movements as well as what sentiment might be thinking or what might be driving sentiment at the moment.
The silence of a till that hasn't rung in a while is deafening to any business owner. That's why Telkom Business wants to unleash the hero in you with a business fusion deal. Get a versatile tablet, LTE 120 gigs anytime data, 120 gigs night surfer data, smart voice basic, plus a professional website for only 699 Rand per month. And make the till ring again. Call 10213, click telkom.co.za, or go to any Telkom shop. T&C apply. Telkom. Possible begins here.
You are listening to Jimmy Muyaha on SAFM.
And at the start of the show, I did mention that we were going to be taking a look at where we could find the 4.5 billion rand in unpaid dividends that seems to be out there. I'm joined on the line now by the Director for Marketing and Corporate Affairs at the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, Vuyo Lee, to take a look at this. Good evening, Vuyo. Thanks so much for taking the time. 4.5 billion rand is a lot of money, and somehow South Africans haven't come forward to claim it?
Yes, 4.5 billion can make a huge impact on the lives of South Africans, Jimmy. And there are many reasons why people have not claimed it. I'll just go in because, you know, you'd be surprised how common these issues are. The first one is the change of banking details, where people have gone to another bank, they've closed their account, they haven't advised the issuer or the company that holds their shares that they've changed their details, and then the dividends go into this account and bounces back. The second reason is education. Some of our shareholders don't know that their shares have dividends. They don't know how often they get paid, and they don't know who pays dividends because not everybody pays cash dividends. And some people actually forget because either they bought shares a long time ago or they received shares from a BEE scheme where they were working or they were policyholders of an insurance company that then gave them shares. So actually, there is a case where people forget or it just, you know, something that they're not aware of from a payment perspective. We've got people who have not updated their addresses and contact details, so we can't locate them to ask them about their banking details and also ask them to actually claim the dividends. And then issue 20% of their registry is deceased estates where people have not disclosed in their wills that they hold shares. Or they don't have beneficiaries, or they haven't even advised their family members that they've got shares. What the campaign that we are running as the JSE and our 18 issuers are running right now is really to address those four issues and ask people to come forward and claim their unclaimed dividends. It's about 500,000 people that we are looking for, and it varies by age, demographics, location, income level. So I would encourage anybody to just claim it and just check that there are potential holders of unclaimed dividends.
Vuyo, how do people check?
We've built a portal that we launched on Monday. It's on jse.co.za, claim it. And on that portal, what you do is you put your ID number, your address, and your contact details, and then you will receive an email instantly to let you know whether or not you have unclaimed dividends. Now, if the email says you have unclaimed dividends, you will need to provide your ID as well as your proof of address and proof of banking details. For deceased estates, Jimmy, it's a little bit more complicated. You will then need to provide a letter of the executor and the death certificate. And then you will, once you've demonstrated you are the right beneficiary, you will ask for the same details, ID, address, as well as banking details. Jimmy, we operate in a world of scams. So the most important message for our listeners is that the JSE and its companies, as I said, there's 18 of them, and you can find them on our website, we will never contact you to say to you, you've got unclaimed dividends. And we are quite mindful of the fact that there are impersonators, and we do operate in a world of fraud where people are contacted to provide banking details. And we will never contact you and even ask you for those details either. And that is why it's important for people to come forward to check on the jse.co.za web to check whether they've got unclaimed dividends. And it could be anybody. So I encourage everybody just to check.
Vuyo, in terms of the other initiatives, I mean, you did touch on the fact that this you were looking at north of or around 500,000 people that could potentially be benefiting from these unclaimed dividends. In the event that I find out that I am somebody that has an unclaimed dividend, does this now mean I have to come physically to the JSE to collect it? Is all of the process electronic enough that all I do is submit the relevant information and then the dividend is paid over? How have you guys managed the next steps beyond the checks?
So it's very easy, Jimmy. And you know what's important for us is that we don't take a long time to process your unclaimed dividend. You've got a right to that dividend. So we've got a process to check on the website, and then from the website, you can submit it electronically. You just download your documents, you take a picture or a selfie of yourself with your ID document, you submit it, it gets verified, and once you get verified that you are the rightful shareholder, then the process is between 5 and 7 working days. Now, if you prefer not to engage online, what you can do is contact on 0861-401-105. I'll repeat that, 0861-401-105. The number is also on our JSE website. You can deal with a call center agent who will take you through the process. And then last but not least, if you are living in Johannesburg or Gauteng, you can come through to the JSE offices on 2 Gwen Lane, Fenton, and it's right next door to the Mark Shopping Center. And we've got a walk-in center where you can submit your documents. So there is a process for everybody based on their preference. And as I said, we don't want to hold on to the money. If we have found you, we will make sure that we process everything between 5 and 7 working days.
If I'm thinking that I might qualify for this and I haven't had the time to check and all of that, is there sort of a time window in terms of how far back these dividends go? Or perhaps I've checked and I've now realized that maybe my dividend was owed before a certain time or after a certain time. Is there a cutoff date as to how far back we're dealing with here?
For starters, this campaign is running for 18 months, and then after 18 months, we'll review with our issuers the next steps, and then we'll go for another 18 months. So there's about 3 years to go through this process. We don't have an expiration date for how far back we go. In fact, in our current call center, JSE Investment Services, we've got people who go as far back as 15 years where they're claiming dividends for the last 15 years. We've had a discussion with our issuers who are participating. We've got about 18, as I said, like Sasol, Old Mutual, Naspers, and Yebo Yetu. And what they've committed to is not to have an expiry date while we're running this campaign. So this is to make sure, from their point of view, they really want to find the people, because they believe that this money belongs to the consumers and the shareholders, and it can make an impact in terms of the economy. So they want to find these shareholders, and as such, they're willing to waive any expiration dates they may have in their policies to find the shareholders. So I guess the time is now to find out, but there's still, you know, about 18 months while this campaign is running.
The Johannesburg Stock Exchange is desperately looking to give you your dividends that you're entitled to. Please use the facilities that they've created. Go onto the JSE's website, jse.co.za, and look through that dividend check and see if you are entitled to any dividend. Who knows? You might just have money for Valentine's Day. We'll leave the conversation there. Thanks so much, Vuyo. Vuyo Lee, Director for Marketing and Corporate Affairs at the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, on the 4.5 billion rand of unclaimed unpaid dividends they're trying to get back into your hands.
SAFM Market Update with Jimmy Muyaha on SAFM.
Now, amidst all of these tensions that we've been keeping up with from an international perspective, South Africa and the position with the United States, there's been quite an interesting commentary that's come out from a political commentator and journalist who is based in the US and has very close relationships with the Trump administration. We are going to be listening to this conversation. This conversation took place a little earlier today between our editor at Moneyweb, Break van Niekerk, and political commentator and journalist Joel Pollack. Let's listen in on that chat.
Joel, thank you so much for your time. South Africa has been caught by surprise by President Trump's tweet and executive order, and there has been some divergent and significant reactions. What are your views on what happened and the way the South African government and other groups have responded?
Well, South Africans should not have been caught by surprise. There has been growing bipartisan criticism of the South African government's foreign policy positions, including among Democrats, not just among Republicans, in the United States, and particularly South Africa's indulgence toward Russia during the Russian war against Ukraine, drew negative attention. So there has long been a frustration in the United States with the embrace by the South African government of all sorts of pariah regimes all around the world, whether it's Russia or the Hamas terrorists in Gaza. People are frustrated with the fact that South Africa wants the benefits of being part of the Western family of democratic nations, but continually sides with the enemies of democracy and Western civilization. So this has been coming for quite some time.
There is a perception that most of the aggression is aimed due to the foreign policy and not so much regarding local laws relating to expropriation of land and empowerment, especially related to the policies in the Middle East, where South Africa approached the ICC regarding the attacks on Gaza and Palestine. So what is your reaction to that?
Well, I definitely think that the South African case against Israel at the ICJ played an important role. If you look at the statement of Secretary of State Marco Rubio, he refers to that. And there are many other foreign policy positions, as I mentioned, that did play a role. But when you look at President Donald Trump's record, he has actually been interested in this issue of land expropriation for quite some time. He brought it up in his first administration. And I think it's a sticking point for many American investors because it represents South Africa's failure to convince international investors that South Africa is a safe destination for foreign direct investment. And South Africa depends on foreign direct investment. And there are many investors who would like to come to South Africa, not just to take advantage of natural resources, but also to employ South Africans, to develop South African capacity and skills. However, they are required by BEE regulations to hand over equity in their companies. They struggle to deal with South African labor laws, which are very difficult for South African companies as well as foreign companies. And on top of that, they now have this Expropriation Act, which has been a simmering debate in South Africa for quite some time, really more than two decades, because it goes back to the era of Zimbabwe when South Africa did not condemn the land seizures by Robert Mugabe, which did scare away some American investors. So I think Donald Trump is positioning himself here as the protector of America's economic interests, and American investors are certainly concerned about the Expropriation Act.
There will be several delegations visiting the U.S. soon, and I will get to those in a minute. But the most likely response from the SA government would be that the empowerment legislation aims to redress the legacy of apartheid, where black people are not part of the mainstream economy as they should be or should be in a constitutional democracy. And the response to the Expropriation Act would be that there has not been expropriation without compensation. In fact, there's been very, very limited expropriation of productive land. And these parties would also suggest that President Trump based his conclusions on incorrect information. How would you respond to that?
On the contrary, I think President Trump is basing his conclusions on the language of the statute, which allows for expropriation without compensation, and not just of land, of other kinds of property. I would suggest that South Africans in government who are concerned about the Trump administration's response spend a little less time wondering where he gets his information from and a little more time considering or reconsidering the legislation. And I think the best way, this is my own opinion, but the best way to address the legacy of apartheid is through economic growth, not through revisiting the past. You have to build a better future, not a better history. And the world may sympathize with what you've said about the need to redress the injustices of the past, but the world is not going to subsidize it. The world wants to invest in economies that are growing, that offer a return. And ultimately, that means the South African economy has to strengthen a commitment to property rights and find ways to expand wealth to those who were denied it previously without taking it away from those who have it.
So there's certainly some very interesting reflections and opinions there expressed by Joel Pollack, political commentator and journalist, speaking earlier to our editor at MoneyWeb, Rake van Niekerk, around the South Africa-US situation.
Time. When you're a kid, it moves slower than a sloth trying to get through airport security. There is just so much of it. Skip forward a few years to your 20s. Time is still your friend. It says have some balance. Go party and have fun. Then your 30s hit. And time suddenly steps on the accelerator like it's trying to catch a traffic light before it goes red. 40s. Now time is moving faster than your 10-year-old on a sugar high. 50. You're desperately trying to save as much as you can, but time is moving so fast. And all you can think is, where did all the time go? That's why after 50 years of investing, we've learned that time is the greatest gift of all. And the good news is, if you invest early, time gives you money. And then money gives you more time for some much-deserved you time. Now, isn't that a compelling enough reason to invest? Ellen Gray, long-term investing. Ellen Gray is an authorized FSP.
You are listening to Jimmy Muyaha on SAFM.
And we move on to some exciting news for one of our local gin distilleries in South Africa, a well-known French company by the name of Pernod Ricard has taken a majority stake in a local gin manufacturer known as Inverosh. I'm joined on the line by the Inverosh Managing Director, Garth Watson, to take a look at this. Good evening, Garth. Thanks so much for taking the time. Certainly very exciting times at the distillery. How are you guys feeling following this announcement?
Good evening, Jimmy. Thanks for the opportunity. Yeah, very exciting times, very exciting news. And yeah, we're all very excited about the investment. And just to correct you, that Pernod Ricard has bought the full ownership of Inverosh, so more than a majority share. And yeah, we're looking forward to, you know, growing the brand further and, you know, repaying the faith that Pernod Ricard has shown in Inverosh.
Mm. Garth, what does this mean for the business? I mean, obviously, having such a big shareholder come in to say not only do they believe in the brand, they want to expand the brand and take it to an even bigger global stage. I mean, this is obviously good news for the business, but take us through what this means for you guys and what this means for the team and for the brand.
Yeah, so we've been partners with Pernod Ricard since 2019. They were shareholders, and so we're well familiar with them as partners. And I think what they bring to us as a business is opening up new markets for us, new opportunities. Pernod Ricard is a global business in most countries around the world, so they have significant resources that we can tap into. They can give us input into which markets we should be looking at. And I think what's also really important is they really do allow the entrepreneurial business ethos to remain. They keep the team in place and just add one or two Pernod Ricard employees to advise and to help integrate. But they really are committed to maintaining what made the brand Inverosh great in the first place. And they're keeping the location in Stourbye, which is not the most convenient place to run a global business from, but it certainly is authentic to the brand, and it helps support the local community from a job creation and supplier support perspective.
Mm. Garth, this brand has obviously been something that's taken the South African gin market by storm, and I mean it's become very quickly one of the most loved brands locally. Internationally, what are your hopes? What are you looking to achieve? I mean, obviously, competing on an international scale is something else, but it's very, very evident that this is a quality product that can stand up to any other product around the world.
Indeed, I think, the liquid quality that Inverosh possesses is up there with any brand in the world. So, we can go confidently into any market and allow our liquid to stand up and represent us. So we are looking to grow the business in these export markets, and we think that there's definitely opportunities in countries like the US, which is slightly behind on the gin trend that's been sweeping the rest of the world. So the US is just kind of getting into that trend now, and also countries like Australia, where there's a strong kind of South African expat community, the UK, all these gin connoisseurs in these markets are very interested in new products. And Inverosh is certainly one, with our Fynbos Botanicals, which is a very unique selling point for us. It certainly generates a lot of excitement and talkability amongst gin connoisseurs and consumers.
Speaking of unique selling points, Garth, what do you think has been the secret sauce for Inverosh? I mean, you mentioned, of course, that some of the areas around the world haven't got as fast a growing gin community. South Africa's one that certainly hasn't been afraid to try, and we've got them growing and coming up in droves, but what do you think gives you a bit of a competitive edge, not just over your local peers, but when you go into that international market and you say, we have this that you're not going to find at any other brand?
Yeah, I think the what made us stand out was just the real authenticity of the brand, the unique botanicals. We had have a very inspiring founder, Lorna Scott, who started the brand back in 2011 from her kitchen table in Stillby. It's a great story. It's very community focused as a business, as I mentioned, in the Stillby community. And it's also, quite uniquely a luxury African gin, which is not that common. We're certainly at a price point which is higher up in the gin pricing ladder, and I think that's something that attracts a certain consumer in terms of how the brand shows up, how it markets itself. We're very understated. We're not loud, but we're elegant, and I think that appeals to the kind of more discerning connoisseur out there when they're looking for a gin brand that stands out and it's different. And I think all those elements help us, present quite a unique proposition to potential new markets around the world.
Go take over the world, Garth. You and the team, we wish you all of the very best. Congratulations again on closing the deal. We look forward to seeing the brand in airports around the world, in stores around the world, and everywhere, so that people know that South Africans can make exceptional gin. We'll leave the conversation there, Garth. That's Garth Watson, Managing Director at Inverosh, on their latest confirmation that Pernod Ricard has taken over the business.
SAFM Market Update with Jimmy Muyaha on SAFM.
This feature is brought to you by the Standard Bank Group. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. If you have not gotten something for your loved one, I think it might be a little bit too late now. There might still be a couple of roses that are being sold at the garage around the corner, but you should probably have planned this a little bit better. Nonetheless, we're going to see if we can help the financial side of the conversation a little bit by helping you avoid falling victim to a romance scam. I've seen a few of these in my spam folder, in my email addresses. I'm sure we've all encountered some of these. For some people, they are more serious than just a spam message sent to you, and they can result in a very detrimental financial situation. I'm joined on the line by the head of fraud risk management at the Standard Bank Group, Advocate Arthur Lee Khan, to take a look at this and see how you can avoid this. Advocate Khan, good evening. Thanks so much for taking the time. You would think that in 2025, romance scams would be a thing of the past, but seemingly not.
Good evening, and thank you for having me. It's definitely not. It's more prevalent now than it was before.
What seems to be spurring it on this time around? I mean, obviously, with the increase in technologies like artificial intelligence, it becomes easier to perpetrate these scams. But what seems to be driving the scams more these days?
I think with the amount of security layers, that all of banking institutions have implemented, the easiest way to get to get money from unsuspecting clients is now to scam them, and for these clients to give over the information freely.
Advocate Khan, when we think about the information and we think about the sort of information that goes out there, I mean, there has been incidences where information has been leaked from places like credit unions and all of that, but that's not the information that these scammers go after, is it?
Essentially, this is where they start. So they essentially need information so that they can lure you in, and that, so they can have a background in terms of who you are, what your favorite pastimes are, etc. They need the information. So essentially, through all of the amount of data breaches, that you've currently been experiencing, this gives them a background in terms of the client. Where the client lives, the languages the client speaks, the type of applications or the type of credit they look at. So it gives them a background and kind of a breeding ground in terms of information that they can use to lure you in. And once they have this, it's easy for them to connect and to use this information to try to get the information from an unsuspecting victim.
What are some of the red flags we should be looking out for? If I suspect something's happening, or if I get a suspicious message of sorts, what should immediately be going off in my head when I read these messages?
So most of these scams, they generally want too good to be true. They're always too good to be true. They will use information or people that you trust. They'll use fake profiles, especially from known people within the industry, and they will use this to lure you in. Especially with the romance scams, when you go through a romance scam, it's essentially in the beginning, it's too much too soon. They express their intense feelings so quickly for you, often within days. They will call you their soulmate, and they'll tell you that they've never felt this way before. They'll love bomb you constantly with compliments and over-the-top romantic gestures. So these are the things, that you need to look out for. These are the red flags.
Advocate Khan, when we think about the information sharing part of it, we touched on the fact that obviously the contact information, the personal information is all really where it starts, and then they progress from there. How do I protect myself in that respect? So we're all human. An email comes through, an SMS comes through. I happen to accidentally click on a link, or I happen to accidentally input my contact information into something. How do I then now prevent it from getting to a point where I've lost money?
The first step is to apply for protective registration at South African Fraud Prevention Services. We generally advise our customers to do this immediately. The most important for the client is to contact the bank, speak to their banker, advise them exactly, what had happened, what information has been compromised. It's all important to monitor your accounts, to make sure that you have your banking notifications on, so that you're aware of any unusual activity or any unusual behavior on your account. It's so important to cease communication immediately with the person or the person one that you've either had a chat with, or if you clicked on a link, to stop the communication immediately and to obviously to delete the link and the app off your phone. But most of all, do not send any money. Change all your passwords and always try to use two-factor authentication when you're doing your banking.
This all sounds a little bit stressful, but it does require a necessary conversation, because we are still having people fall victims to these sorts of things. And that's where the concern really lies. When we think about some of these scams, I mean, we've touched on the email side of it, and that's a lot of those are things like phishing scams and using links and trying to get information that way. There's a new concept now called vishing. What's that about?
So vishing is a type of social engineering scam. This is where cyber criminals will use phone calls to manipulate victims, and they use this so that they can get the victims to reveal sensitive information. The term it combines the word voice and phishing, which emphasizes the fraudulent use of voice communication to deceive people. During a phishing call, a scammer might try to get you to share your personal information, but most of all your financial details, such as your bank account numbers, passwords, OTPs, etc.
So your personal information is what they're after. Then they're after your banking and financial information. And then the end goal, I suppose, is for them to have you send them money willingly so that it doesn't look as though they've taken the money from you. Advocate Khan, if you could give one kind of big tip around just protecting yourself, because there's a lot, right? There's protecting your information, there's protecting your passwords, there's protecting everything else along the way. But if you're online, we live in a digital age, it's very difficult to kind of avoid some of these interactions and encounters. What would you say is the golden rule in terms of just being safe?
The golden rule, which I generally share with everyone, is that if it's too good to be true, it generally is. Never, ever send money or financial information, no matter what the excuse, even if somebody pretends to be in love with you, because real love doesn't come with a price tag.
There you have it, folks. Real love doesn't come with a price tag. Take that as the Valentine's Day message. Take it however you will. But more importantly than that, don't share your financial information. Don't become the victims of Tinder swindlers. If someone's enemies are after them, let their enemies catch up with them. I think we'll leave the conversation there. Thanks so much, Advocate Khan, for those insights. Advocate Arthur Lee Khan, who is the head for fraud risk management at Standard Bank, joining us to take a look at romance scams and the fact that love shouldn't cost you a fortune. This feature was brought to you by the Standard Bank Group.
When you're growing your money, you need to make the right choices. That's why at Standard Bank Private, we offer the best of everything. Our offshore investments are award-winning. We'll give you the best Forex rates around. As SA's biggest home loan provider, we offer unmatched expertise, and you'll have access to the best financial planners and bankers. So why not visit standardbank.co.za to join Africa's best private bank today? Standard Bank is an authorized FSP and registered credit provider. T's and C's apply.
You are listening to Jimmy Muyaha on SAFM.
It's once again time for our SME of the Week. We try and profile businesses that are doing exceptionally well in their respective fields. Today's SME is a very special one because the founder of the business has taken the time to come all the way to my studio to come and show me exactly what products she has built. We're joined in studio by the founder of Biomedical Emporium, Dr. Judy Pretorius, to find out what this product is. Good evening, Dr. Judy. Thanks so much for taking the time. Thank you for coming through to the studio as well. Tell us about Biomedical Emporium. What is the business and how did it sort of come about?
Good evening, Jimmy, and good evening to your listeners. So Biomedical Emporium is a biotechnology company, but with a primary focus in formulating and manufacturing dermatology application products. Okay. So what do I mean by that? There are actually three disciplines that we focus on. We focus on the cosmetic industry, and then we focus on the medical device industry, and then we focus on the pharmaceutical industry. So what it all entails, from a cosmetic right through to pharma, is what skin type and condition do you have? And I mean, it's such a wide array of things that people can struggle with, the human skin. Just from a cosmetic point of view, we don't like aging. So aging is one of the things that we worry about. Then other people struggle with acne and rosacea and psoriasis and pigmentation, even sensitive skin wounds, acute, chronic, post-surgical wounds. So it's our job to literally go in a lab environment, formulate all sorts of ingredients out there, put it into a product and design it for a very, very specific individual with a very specific skin type and skin condition.
Interesting that you say that. I, a couple of years ago, happened to suffer from a skin condition that left me out of radio for a bit of time as well. So I can definitely relate to having sensitive skin, having to deal with certain creams and things and how expensive that process gets. So what products does Biomedical Emporium then make for the market?
Okay, so maybe I should answer it a little bit wide in general. The human skin is obviously our most outer organ. It's a public organ, and it's our largest organ. And our lifestyle and where we live from a geographical point of view definitely plays a role in how our skin responds day to day. Also, if we look at, you know, there's this ad on TV that says the person that's going to live to the age of 200 has already been born. And now the question is, what if that person is you and me? And what is our skin going to look like, you know, at the age of 150, for instance? But it really calls for a question by saying, say, for instance, my lifestyle or my environment, the environmental extremities that I'm surrounded with play such a huge role on my skin that one day I do struggle with sensitive skin, you know, and one day I am exposed to irritants or stimulants or allergens in the air or in the environment or things that I take in orally, that's going to cause some form of a redness, a sensitivity, elevated skin, itching, tingling, sensation, etc. And purely where you are in your life can determine what type of skincare products you need. And that's why we try to train people out there as well to say, listen, depending on where people are and what they are exposed to, what their lifestyle is, what medication they drink, they can have certain expression on their skin. So the human skin becomes a diagnostic organ that tells us what's wrong with you systemically or what's not wrong with you, if that also makes sense. And based on that, we can design a particular product for sensitive skin, you know, ingredients like peptides and hyaluronic acids and growth factors and even a combination of certain vitamins and minerals and put that all into a product for sensitive skin versus maybe for someone who's really worried about aging, we focus on other ingredients like high concentrations of vitamin C and high concentrations of vitamin A like retinol, for instance, and niacinamides, vitamin B3. And it all depends on where you are in your life, and that will kind of dictate what you need as well for your skin.
It sounds like you've got a real passion for just understanding the science behind what goes into these products, not just creating the products for the sake of saying, this is what I've created and this is what I've put in the market. There's a lot that goes into it from a research perspective, and I suppose this is where the biomedical side of things comes through and all of the work that you do on that side of it. From a product perspective, you've brought some things into studio. I want to get a sense of what you've brought into studio and what this looks like from a product range.
Okay, I'll share with you just now. And from the academic point of view, I'm seeing that you brought that up now. I'm an academic at heart. For one, you know, I did a PhD in pharmaceutical chemistry and some diplomas in dermatology, etc. And we actually also get the opportunity to culture human skin in our lab. So we can get biopsies from people's skin. And you get 6 different skin types. We call it a Fitzpatrick 1 right through to a Fitzpatrick 6 skin type. And basically what that means is people with a Fitzpatrick 1 is usually a very fair skin tone and type, like a Scandinavian undertone, versus a darker skin type as well. And based on what your skin tone and type is, it's also going to determine how your skin is going to respond to the environment. So we literally culture all these skin tones and types. And then we take ingredients and some of these products that we're going to discuss just now and see how these ingredients and at what concentration these ingredients actually respond on the skin that we cultured in the lab environment for research and development purposes. And the products that I actually brought you today is typically what I would say a good cleanser. You know, everyone should have a cleanser. And I'm going to say, you know, both men and women, I'm very proud of South African men because they really take care of their skin. And also, people need to know that taking care of their skin comes from the inside as well. So taking care of your skin is not just a topical application. So we'll have some good serums and moisturizers that one can apply in the morning and in the evening. But then again, I also have a systemic product as well that you can take in orally. And, you know, people feel so, you know, that it's so tedious to drink all sorts of vitamins and minerals and tablets every single day. And eventually it's not sustainable and they just give up. So we decided, why don't we design a drink with all the vitamins and minerals that you need for the day and a good probiotic as well, pre and probiotic for the gut, as well as a high colony forming, you know, probiotic and collagen for the skin. So collagen is not just necessary for the skin, but it's good for your bones, it's good for cartilage, and it's also excellent for healing because every now and again, our children or even ourselves get some form of injury at home and the aesthetic healing is not really there. It can convert into a keloid or a hypertrophic scar, and something like this can facilitate aesthetic healing to take place. Yes, and I see you have a scar. You know, and a scar like that, that you have on your arm, is something that... you know, people feel sometimes if they have a scar on their skin, you know, ladies, for instance, if they have scars from a cesarean section or injury back in the day, can one do anything about it? And the answer is actually yes. And it's not necessary to say that some of the products that you can buy at a retail store is really going to make a remarkable difference. But there are things like salons and aesthetic clinics out there that can do chemical peels on a scar like that you have on your arm, or even some gentle microneedling. And a few sessions of that, I promise you, the visibility of that scar will actually go away up to 80%.
That's very interesting. I think it's also interesting when you think about, as you mentioned, the skin being the largest organ. I remember, again, when I had my skin scares, that was something I discovered there as well, was you don't realize the importance of it until something happens to it. And it's always interesting that when we look at our organs, we're often looking to take care of the internal ones, and we forget that this one is the one that's most exposed to the elements and probably needs a lot more care as well. So from a business perspective, Biomedical Emporium, you say that you design things and you're able to customize things to people's specific skin types and skin conditions. Do you have products that you currently have in the market that might be more general for someone that says, I don't really have specific problems, but I just want to look after my skin a little bit more?
Yes, so it can be overwhelming. I can say the aesthetic industry or the cosmetic industry is very overwhelming, and the pure reason for that, it's such an unregulated industry. You know, we made jokes by saying what happened during COVID. People either made their own pineapple beer or their own skincare brand. and so it does, the general end consumer struggles out there to differentiate, you know, from what mm-hmm. is good and bad. And then you get people, you know, maybe a school girl or a boy who starts their own TikTok account by giving skincare advice, but they didn't even study one diploma in skincare or cosmetic science. So my thinking is that people should understand that the human skin has another name, and it's called an acid mantle. So here's the first tip that I'd like to give. The acid mantle likes to be in an acidic environment. So don't just go and buy money or spend money on any product out there. Try to look for products that categorically state that it's pH balanced. In other words, you are looking for a product that's going to be at a pH specification of 5 to 5.5. That's very important. The second thing is, I like to tell people, our human skin was at its happiest when we were in our mother's womb, when we were surrounded in the amniotic environment, when we were exposed to ingredients like vitamin A, B, C, D, K, hyaluronic acids, liposomes, proteins, water, etc. Now, those ingredients are what we actually should take and put it inside products at a very low pH range. But there wasn't anything like fragrances in the amniotic environments. There wasn't anything like scrubs in the amniotic environment, or even the wrong preservatives in the amniotic environment. So that already tells you, don't use products that contain colorants or fragrances or dyes or the wrong type of preservatives, because this can cause, you know, injury to the skin, and that can lead to premature aging, unfortunately. Mm. But just a basic skincare routine, and I'm emphasizing again, both men and women, make sure you have a good cleanser in the morning that contains things like salicylic acid or glycolic acid, then a nice serum like vitamin C in the morning, and a good sunscreen. And in your routine in the evening should typically be, again, a cleanser, a serum that contains retinol, and a moisturizer that contains peptides. And this is, how can I say, a gender-neutral skincare approach to also make sure that you maintain your skin and live to the age of 200 without changing your passport or ID photo.
That's quite an interesting viewpoint on it, especially a 200-year outlook on that. Dr. Judy, before I let you go, where do people get hold of your products? Where do people get in touch with you if they want to find out more about the business, about what it is that you offer, how you can assist them? How do people reach you?
Well, firstly, they can go visit our website at biomedicalemporium.com. And on the website, also, we list the stockers where we stock our products nationwide, and even clinics that you can go to if you have certain concerns. So you can find a stockers near you. And even if you just type in Biomedical Emporium products, you will be exposed to a wide array of online platforms to get some of these products. And if you're unsure what to buy, please go find our numbers on the website and book an online consultation or even a telephonic consultation if you're unsure which products is suitable for your skin tone and type.
That website, folks, is biomedicalemporium.com. So biomedicalemporium.com. IUM.com. All of the information is on the website. All of the details are there. There's different skin types that you can look at. There's different products that are listed there that you can place orders for from. And you can find your nearest stockist if you are looking for something in particular. But over and above that, you can also book treatments and you can book a consult. So be sure to visit the website. Be sure to check out what it is that they have on offer. They have the option to deliver these products to you as well anywhere in South Africa. I think we'll leave the conversation there for now. Thank you so much, Dr. Judy, for joining us in studio. Dr. Judy Pretorius, who is the founder of Biomedical Emporium, joining us to give us more information about skincare, but also tell us about her business.
You are listening to Jimmy Muyaha on SAFM.
That's it, folks. That's the show for the day. That's the show for the week. Thanks for tuning in. If you've missed any of our conversations, they are up online as podcasts. You can catch up on them there. It's coming up to 7 o'clock. Greg Coast is standing by to give you the latest round of evening news, followed by Michael Abramson and the top sport team for this week. From my side, good night.